What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Salty Saul. What's cracking over there in Pittsburgh, PA, man? How you doing? How you living? You're living good?
Amazing. It's nice. There's a heat wave.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, there's a heat wave going on all over the country, so bring on socialism.
Wait, what?
Or as it's known now, the Great Reset. We're going to talk about that. Also, My Son Hunter. Have you guys seen the movie?
No, I've been wanting to check it out. I got busy this weekend.
So I guess Gina Carano stars in a new movie that goes after the president's son. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to play the trailer for you guys, and we'll have a little chat about
all
that.
All right.
All right. We're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Yeah, boy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Salty Show. Ah, shit. We're missing people again. Oh, my God.
People.
You know what I
mean? life is coming out of fast.
Yeah. All right. But, I mean, we got the OGs here. The original crew. So if you're a loyal, salty listener, you got the three amigos here, and we're going to hold it down.
Three.
And before we get into those topics that I mentioned, I do want to show you guys this trailer. It's funny. Before we get to that, we're going to do a little bit of
the J-Files.
Don Gorski. You ever hear of Don Gorski?
Name sounds familiar.
Who is he?
Don Gorski. Don Gorski's life was forever changed on the fateful day of May 17th, 1972, when he went to McDonald's in his Wisconsin hometown. He said it was the first place he went after buying his new car. You all right?
Yeah.
All right. Basically, he got to that McDonald's and he ordered and ate three Big Macs for lunch. He liked the burger so much, he went back twice more the same day and ate six more of the iconic burgers. He has been going to McDonald's and eating Big Macs every day for the last 50 years.
How is he alive?
So they kind of get into that during the story, right? They said, so he's kept every receipt in every burger box to track his incredible history of eating
burgers. That's disgusting.
Yeah, you would think 50-year-old hamburger boxes?
What box? Why does he keep eating boxes? Jesus.
Well, people are crazy.
So he can keep track of how many. He's eaten 32,000 Big Macs.
Oh, that's disgusting. I just think about eating one right now and I want to throw up.
So anyways, for a guy who eats two Big Macs a day, Don is in surprisingly good health, and he puts it down to a mixture of an active lifestyle along with not eating much beyond the daily burgers. So he doesn't really eat anything but the two burgers, basically.
I think he's a walking example of the lies that we've been told, right? Because everybody says, oh, you need these supplements because you're not getting it because you're not eating that and you're not doing this and blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. Here's a great example of a guy who's in great health. All he's eating is fucking a burger and whatever. He's not overdoing it. He's just 60s. Doing two a day. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it was like, if you're fucking eating it all day, then of course, anything in excess is going to cause you problems. But you know what I mean? Like, that's why, like, this whole idea that we have to, you got to get the supplements, you got to get this, you got to do that, da, 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 da. Bullshit. It's just fucking
right.
Making
and
money.
The article does say that he tends to skip the French fries and basically sticks to the burgers.
All right.
He did eat a Burger King Whopper once in 1984 after a friend bet him to do it. But then Don spent the winnings on more Big Macs.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting. He rewarded himself with a Big Mac.
I'm assuming both of you guys have had Big Macs before, right?
I was more of a double quarter pounder with cheese. Hold the onions.
I do the Big Macs. I just don't get the special sauce. Every single place that has their special sauce, I'm not a fan. Like, what was the other
place?
It's
special.
No, yeah. I'm like, it's in there. Like,
so do you prefer the Whopper or the Big Mac?
The Whopper. I'm a Whopper guy.
I'm a big proponent. I'm a big, I,
Burger King burgers with McDonald's fries. That would be okay. My ideal.
Burger King, the Whopper, or just any of their burgers?
I'll say any of the burgers because it's definitely.
No. Wendy's?
I like Wendy's Frosties, fries. Bro. Wendy's Frosties the with a shit. Fries. See, I would do McDonald's French fries.
I think it is Wendy's.
A Burger King burger because I love that frame broiled. And then.
Pretty sure it was Wendy's.
Wendy's Frosty.
Yeah. So between the Big Mac and the Whopper, I would prefer the Whopper. I think it's just a better hamburger. But it does have that I don't know if it's the way they cook it, the charbroil or whatever, but it has an aftertaste. I taste that burger for like hours after I eat it. I don't know if you guys ever noticed
it's
that.
Like White Cat?
From the Whopper. There's a...
I haven't had fast food chemical, in over
right,
a decade.
Right, right. Oh, it's of not course, Wendy's. Don't get no, me wrong. What,
who do I eat the curly fries from?
Curly fries, like Arby's has curly fries.
Arby's.
Jack in the Box.
Why am I confusing Wendy's and Arby's?
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. McDonald's and Burger King are like number 73 on my list of places I would go for a burger, right?
My 773.
Yeah, it's well, not I don't like there. That, but yeah, obviously there's much better burgers out there to be had.
Actually, the last time I actually had Burger King was when me, you, and Big D, we were driving to Chicago from Michigan, right? And we stopped in Indiana and we were starving. So we decided to, you know, we wanted to get to Chicago. So we stopped at Burger King on our way to Lake Michigan. On the way to that beach.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not eating this crap. And then I found, because I was at the vegan at the time, I was like, I'm not going to Burger King. Starving. But I found that they had a veggie burger. I got that nasty ass veggie burger.
Did you try their Impossible Burger?
I don't know what it was, it was not the worst. It still felt like it was toxin coming out of my mouth.
Sangatuck. What was that called?
Sangatuck.
Dunes? Something like that. Dunes. Something Dunes.
Something like that. Oh. But we stopped at, that was the last time I had burgers.
You should have went to like White Castle because you can't get those here.
Vegan. Yeah. I was doing the vegan. All right. Never mind. So that was the veggie.
You should have stopped at White Castle. Got some. They got White Castle here. We have one. Is it still packed?
I don't know. No, it's not. I was there today.
That's funny that you mentioned that, Jeremy, because eventually we will talk about this with the whole Great Reset and. But to your point, you know, for us here, McDonald's is our last, you know, I mean, at least for me, I know that some people are fans, but that would be the last thing I would order. Like everything else would have to be closed. You know, fucking Philly Burgers would have to be closed. And,
Philly Burgers my shit, bro.
I know. That's why I said no, but, I saw a video recently of, you know, when McDonald's showed up to Russia, it was like in 1990, and the line, like they said that's that opening day, I think they said 35,000. That's how many, I don't know if how many people or how many burgers were made. That's been their biggest opening ever. And obviously, you know, you remember obviously during those times, it was right after, you know, the Iron Curtain, came down and they opened up their economy to, you know, the free market, and McDonald's was the one to make the first move. You know, it's crazy. And I was also listening to, this is crazy, just an interesting fact. I think might have mentioned this at one point, Jeremy, once they opened up their economy, I think Pepsi Cola, you know, that was the first thing that they wanted to buy. And the Russian government traded ships, artillery, weapons for the Coca-Cola. So at one point in time, PepsiCo was the sixth largest army in the world. They had so much. Isn't that crazy? I was like, that is fucking wild. Anyways, I'm not trying to derail.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie Lord of War with Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
He plays that Russian gun dealer who apparently we're trading for Brittany Griner.
I mean, I don't know what's coming out of that. She fell out of the media real quick. So that's probably going to be something that is done under the table.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, it's interesting how, you know, like you said, Coca-Cola or whatever could be the sixth largest army. Cause they were selling that stuff left and right, man. They're like, we don't need this.
They said that at one point in time, Russia was trading vodka. A bottle of vodka for a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
I wonder, I wonder how that time frame plays in as when they did the quote unquote new Coke. Remember when they changed their recipe and started calling it new Coke?
That's probably when they were
and
like,
that lasted for about 6 months. And then they're like, bring back the old shit. And they brought back Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that? Are you even old enough to remember that?
It was horrible. Okay. Coke One.
I remember Coke Zero more than anything.
Coke Zero. Yeah. All that stuff.
Do you guys remember Pepsi Light?
Yeah, Pepsi tried doing all this crazy shit.
Well, that was just like the diet version, right? They called it, before diet was the word that everybody used, it was Pepsi Light, right? Because it was like Tab was the first diet Coke, right? Diet beverage. And then Pepsi came out with Pepsi Light. And then somewhere down the road, they all just decided to start calling it Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi. And now they've got Diet or Coke Zero and Pepsi Max or whatever.
So many different. I mean,
it's like marketing.
That's the beauty of capitalism and free enterprise, that a company will know right away if the people want it, not a centralized government or centralized body of people making the choice. Oh, this is it. Like Russia is a great example, right? They had the resources, they could have done it themselves. But when you have centralized planners, it doesn't work. The people decide right away. They vote with their feet. They vote with their, you know, where they spend their money on. We'll get to that. I don't want to. Was that it, Jeremy? Is that all you had?
Yeah, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, let's get into this subject before we talk about.
I got my headline.
The great.
That's
right. Sorry about that, Jeremy.
This is a quick headline. It's a good comedy one. It falls right in line with politics and cultural norms, and even spills a little bit over into our Friday show. New poll. So, article from Outkick.com. New poll says nearly 1 in 4 Democrats believe men can get pregnant. This is where we are, folks. Where we're at, folks.
One in four Democrats believe that men can get pregnant.
And it does tie into the Great Reset.
Jesus. So obviously we know that this group of people, left, liberals, whatever you want to call them, feel very comfortable with changing the meaning of words, right? That's their favorite pastime. They're changing the meaning of words. So in this context, does pregnant actually mean
With child.
Carrying a child for nine months. They think a man can.
Yes.
They watch too many Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito.
To iron it out,
it would be a woman who identifies as a man. I'm translating for you.
Oh.
But in their mind, it is a man.
That's stupid.
Right.
But no, it's not.
The translation is it's a man who identifies as a woman.
Okay.
So this is the part that is the most concerning, according to the article. What's more concerning is that the percentage of Democrats who agreed with the statement rose when only women voted, with an awe-inspiring 36% of college-educated white females saying they believe men could get pregnant. God help us all, is all I have to say. Hmm. College-educated women believe men can get pregnant. Those same women wind up getting jobs as teachers, wind up getting jobs as HR coordinators, same jobs as they become managers. They become whatever the fuck, they become lawyers. This is what you're dealing with now. You're dealing with the thought police, because now if you say to that woman, no, that's not true. Oh, yeah. She'll fire you. She'll write you up. She'll arrest you.
Take you to HR.
I mean,
arrest you.
Dude. Educated college women.
Just goes to show you, when you go to college, you're not getting an education.
And these are the same dumbasses that we just gave a $10,000 bail out to.
You know, that's why when somebody tells me, you know, or, you know, somebody, you know, because they'll put it on, you know, again, I'm on the dating profiles, on the dating apps, and, you know, I see it on the profiles, they'll put, you know, whatever college they went to. I don't look at that as, you know what I mean? Like, it does nothing for me. In fact, it does the opposite. I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is some woke. You know what I mean? Like, I really, I have the opposite effect. I'm like, this person is brainwashed. That's how I look at it. To be honest with you, I'm at that point.
They very much are.
And if there's ever been a case for any conservative parent out there who's questioning, is it worth it? Here's your evidence. No, it's not. It's not worth it. They're learning lies. Bullshit. All right. That was a good one, Tim.
It does tie into the Great Reset.
Yeah, we will talk a little bit about the Great Reset. You know, I, like I said, I know I've read the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Klaus Schwab. I know you read the COVID-19 Great Reset crap that he wrote.
And the Great Narrative.
There you go. So we're going to talk about, and we have been saying for a while that we were going to have an episode on this. And I think we will start the conversation on this because it is a broad topic. And I don't think we're going to be able to get it to everything that it encompasses within an hour, but we will try our best. Before we get there, though, I did want to just play for you guys this new movie that came out. And I actually got reminded of this because I think it was you, Tim, or somebody who posted it online. There was a video of people who were holding a banner over a highway, and it said mysonhunter.com. And so it obviously gets people curious, and so people go to the website. And what is the website? It is a movie that came out about, I think, a week ago or so, or 2 weeks ago. And so I'm going to play a clip of this because we didn't cover this we haven't covered this in our past episodes, but I think it's worth watching. And in my opinion, this is how you fight the machine. All right. So by contributing to this kind of stuff so that we can get more of it.
So this, not to interrupt here, but this is from the Daily Wire?
No.
Because you mentioned Gina Carano's in it?
Gina Carano's in it, but it's not from the Daily Wire.
Okay. But it's obviously not mainstream Hollywood because she's still blacklisted.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not.
And I'm sure doing films for Daily Wire hasn't ingratiated her with those.
Exactly. So Hollywood she's types basically either. Blacklisted out in Hollywood. What I do want to mention, though, is that this movie, people who have come out in it, I've seen some interviews. You know, if you're conservative and, you know, you're squeamish when you see nudity or whatever, this is not for you. Drugs. I mean, they made this movie as real as they could. It is Hunter Biden and it is Biden, pedophile Biden, pedo Joe, right? And so this is their covers their, that whole drama and that whole fucking cover up that happened. So let me play the trailer for you guys and then we'll discuss it a little bit.
So I'll tell you what's going down.
You know who I am.
They told me you were VIP, well connected to the government.
What kind of a moron forgets to pick up his laptop at a repair shop? You're a Biden. Act like one. Everything he built, life, I just ruined it all.
I want to know everything that's on that laptop that can ruin my erection.
My friends, it's time to party! I'm an artist.
Tell me how I can help you.
Well, I don't deserve help. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've been through worse.
You're the smartest man I know.
Damn, Stan.
I just wish I could smack some sense into you.
I'll never forget Corey Bob. He was a bad dude. No joke. Dad, we were talking about suffering.
I can't seem to find anything but positive stuff on the Bidens.
Who's the point man for the foreign policy in the Obama regime?
Joe Biden.
So it looks like you need $1 billion.
So the obvious next question is,
where's Hunter?
I can remember getting paid some money, but I can't remember what for.
Well, my dad says we never discuss my businesses, period.
Or my cunt.
What's happening in there? Joe's in on it.
Party's over!
You had everything, Hunter, and you threw it all away. You hope the laptop will take down everybody with you.
Get out!
China's not our enemy.
They're not bad folks.
I love my dad, and I just want to make him proud.
I am the one who brings in all the deals. I am the one.
The boy.
Obviously, yeah. There's a lot of parts there that are, you know, wildly exaggerated there, but I think it does convey the point, right? And I think it might have every person who's watching this, there's good reviews for this. But what I did want to mention is one of the things, because they touched on everything, right? All this little fucking clips that we play, you know, you get your core pop ready, folks. This film will make your hairy legs stand up. The true story like behind the that. Real bad dude.
You need you to know? Tell me everything that's going to affect my erection.
And they're all playing basketball in the park. That's how you know you're in a good
exactly,
in a bad neighborhood, apparently, according to Joe Biden.
Did you see the little scene with where he's like freaking groping Ashley? Oh, dude, these guys, they're going at it. Ow. I don't know how this...
Who made this? You said it wasn't Daily Wire. Who?
No, let me...
Robert Davi.
The Italian actor.
Yeah. The one, he was the one during COVID that said, Joe Biden, you know, we got all these Italians.
So he paid to make it.
He's a director. Yeah. I mean, they got
producer.
Right, put money behind it.
All right. Oh, that's cool.
But this is how you fight back.
Yes.
Right. We've been saying this the whole time, right? So when everyone's sitting there like, oh, I'm going to buy Maverick. I'm going to do... No. You go buy this film. Don't go buy Maverick. I mean, even though it's a good film, but that's Hollywood. Go support these guys.
Right.
Go support your Daily Wires, your Tim Pools.
So you had mentioned it's streaming. You can either buy it.
Yeah.
Is it like a digital download that you buy?
Yeah, Rumble, like we did with...
It's everywhere. Okay. You can...
Or you can stream it straight from Rumble?
Straight from the website.
But you pay.
Right. Yeah.
Straight from the website. MySonHunter.com. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And, you know, so to Tim's point, I mean... You support these guys, maybe we'll get the sequel, Dear Diary by Ashley.
but this is how you beat them, because people say that it's all fake, but then you spend a year hearing that it's fake, and then all of a sudden it's real.
It's not,
and
so
it's
fake.
Like, okay, but it's so far gone. But if you could sit there and capitalize on it as it comes out, I mean, obviously you can't make a multi-million-dollar movie overnight, but you know, to keep it relevant and fresh. Where people remember it, now you're going into the midterms, this movie drops, you're like, oh shit, that's right, this diary, this you know, the Hunter Biden things, you know, all the polling shows that everybody, like over 60% of people believe that Joe Biden was 100% involved in his son's dealings and that he's on the take. So at that point alone, how can you sit there and say, you know what, I'm a voted Democrat at right. that point? You got to put the people in that are going to get his ass out of there, you know what I'm saying? But anyway. A lot of shit, but I'm glad they're doing this, because you've never seen this before. Maybe 10, 15 years later, but you're doing it in real time, where you're making a movie about the sitting president and his son and that laptop and everything. And it don't do them good. This is why they hate conservatives, because they're fighting back. They're not used to getting punched in the nose now.
Yeah. So do you know how long is it? Is it 90 minutes, 2 hours?
I'm assuming it's the length of a feature film. That's how they're advertising it. So
yeah, I'm just wondering if that material would get dry after a certain amount of time. But I mean, if they did a good job, then 2 hours will fly by.
Once I watch it, I'll download it. Cut up some clips. Maybe, to your point, Jeremy, maybe they played the best parts on the trailer, but
I hope not. I always hope not.
But you know, marathon starts with that first step, man, and you know, yeah, it's gonna take a while, but we gotta start supporting the things that, you know what I mean, like, are gonna bring this type of entertainment that at least is not woke, you know what I mean, like, because fuck that shit. We had a conversation about, you know, the Rings of Power. I stopped watching and I was like, this is shit. Hollywood has gone to shit, folks.
One thing, you know, with part of this, the reason why we can do this now. Before, it's something we never had. We have our own infrastructure now. Remember that. We have our own infrastructure. We're not relying on the AWSs and the Microsofts and the Googles to say, oh, we don't like you, cancel. We actually have conservative outlets building infrastructure for this, right? On Locals, Rumble, that's all tied together. You have Parallel now, Parallel Economy, right? So you don't need the PayPals and everything. You have these outlets.
I mean, I will cover this, but you know, as far as an answer to the Great Reset, which is, you know, there is an answer to all that shit, and a lot of people are labeling it the Great Escape, which is, you know, technology is increasing exponentially, that these people who are, you know, the central planners who want to censor are having a hard time, because There is a body of water behind a wall that has a hole in it that they're, you know, they're putting their finger in that one hole and another one comes out. I believe that's the answer. However, that introduces, we'll talk about it, but that introduces the whole idea of AI and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but let's first talk about this whole shit that's coming. And I started out the episode by saying, you know, there apparently there's a heat wave. And I know I'm talking to people who live in Arizona, and there's a heat wave yeah. in Arizona the whole damn time.
Qualify that remark.
The rest of the world, you know what I mean? Like, they're all of a sudden, you know, it's a heat wave. However, you know, when I was researching this, I searched for a heat wave. Every fucking year, is an article about it, the heat wave. And so what is special this time? Similar to every fucking year before COVID, there was a flu pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, there was flu deaths. What is different? Ah, I'll tell you the difference. The difference now is that people are not letting a good crisis go to waste. Now, I know Winston Churchill said this, and when he said this, it was it for a good cause. People have taken his words and they're not twisting it. But they're not letting a good crisis go to waste. So with this whole fucking thing that they're presenting now, that there's a heat wave and it's the new pandemic. You know, Tim was sending us links to videos that, you know, what they're doing, what's happening. And I'm going to start off with California, right? Gavin Newsom, which, you know, according to Biden, he's the Biden administration, he's leading the way when it comes to this climate crisis that we have. And but what are they doing now? You know, they've passed laws that are saying, hey, we're going to get rid of the combustible engine cars by the end of 2035. What was the date that they gave?
2035.
And so right the same week that they announced that, shortly after, fucking rolling blackouts, and they're urging their residents now. I'm going to play this video from Gavin Newsom just so you can hear it from his mouth. Again, according to the Biden administration, they are leading, California is leading the way, meaning that every other state should emulate them. And when you look at this, listen to what this guy says, dude. Listen to what he's telling his citizens now.
California and many other Western states are experiencing simply unprecedented temperatures. In fact, this heat wave is on track to be both the hottest and the longest on record for this state and many parts of the West for the month of September. Californians, you've stepped up to help in a big way to keep the lights on so far. But we're heading to the worst part of this heat wave, and the risk for outages is real and it's immediate. These triple-digit temperatures throughout much of our state are leading, not surprisingly, to record demand on the energy grid. Everyone,
I'm going to say this, and we know that the experts, right? I say experts in quotation marks. We've learned that the experts are willing to lie. Because, for their ideology. And so anything that this guy is saying today, record this, record that, bullshit. It's all lies, folks. There is no crisis. There is no heat wave crisis. There is no climate crisis that's going to end the planet. And if it is, isn't this what they want? Human beings are a parasite on the planet. Isn't this what you guys have wet dreams about? The end of the human civilization, then you should be fucking riding your gas guzzlers out there just so that you can bring it on earlier. What were you going to say, Jeremy?
Yeah, I agree. They're just talking points, right?
Right.
It's what's popular. It's we're not going to have gas cars anymore. It's like, really? Really, asshole? You can't afford to air condition power-wise. You can't afford to air condition your homes. And yet you're going to get rid of every gas vehicle on the road and charge Teslas and Mustangs and whatever other electric vehicle are out there every night.
But this is the
what are you fucking thinking? You're idiots.
But this is the progressive dream, dude.
Well, you're sure it's right a now? Dream, but it's not a reality.
But here, check this out. Do you think he's turning off his air conditioning and not leaving it?
No.
Not with that jacket he's got on.
People down at
he's driving around in a motorcade of three Subaru, three Suburbans, and three cop cars. How much gas is that wasting? Because this jackass can't drive around by himself. Suffering?
You know the people down in South Central that you know are following the rules because they're enforcing it or they're pushing it in their face.
Yeah, yeah.
The people in the barrio. District that, you know, barely had, you know,
their house is at 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Their refrigerator's empty. Yeah. Their gas tank is empty. And the government's like, oh, well, you just need to give a little more. What else am I going to give? You've taken everything away from me. What is there left to give?
You will own nothing and be happy. And that ties right into what he's saying, but we'll get into that statement in a little bit.
This is the mentality is that the citizen will do it for the greater good. This is how they think. I'm going to continue playing some of this because listen to what because right now he's going to plead with the citizens to unite.
Sound familiar, right?
Has to do their part to help step up for just a few more days. Individuals, the state,
a few more days.
Industries, business.
Yeah. What was it? 13, 14 days to stop the spread.
15 days to slow the spread.
This is exactly what this shit is. Mm. Just for a few days. You can play that again.
To help step up for just a few more days. Individuals, the state, industries, business, all doing their part to help reduce strain on the grid.
Mark my words. It's not for a few days.
Hey, I got an idea, asshole. Why don't you spend a little money increasing your infrastructure so that the grid can support days when maybe it's a little hotter than normal?
Oh, no, they can't because they closed all the nuclear
power plants. Oh, yeah. You say nuclear coal in California, they'll run you out on a rail.
They built all these wind turbines that don't work and they can't handle the load.
Oh, the solar is great, though. Solar is great. They have it all over the place. Oh, but wait, it only works when the sun's out.
And it's so great that Amazon quietly shut down all their solar panels on all the roofs because they started burning up. They started causing fires. So Amazon stopped. They got them on the roofs now, but they turned them off because it's causing a problem.
Wait. How do you turn off a solar panel?
Well, they disconnect. they disconnect.
Yeah,
they,
right. Yeah, but
it's a switch. Jeremy, it's a switch on the wall. The sun goes out.
So don't get me wrong. I like the idea of not polluting. I like the idea of having clean rivers. I like the idea of having clean air.
Exactly.
But the problem is these jackasses are putting the cart before the horse. Step one is get your infrastructure, your power grid, your refill stations, whatever you want to call them, charging stations. You need to get all of that infrastructure in place first. And then guess what? Everybody will naturally move to these because guess what? They're going to go to the car dealership. And sure, they're going to pay a little more for an electric car, but they're going to also realize that, wait a minute, we did this not too long ago. Heidi and I we were looking at Teslas because we put $700 worth of gas in our car every month, taking little girls to dance and gymnastics $700 a month. So an electric car is a very reasonable expense for us because we went and talked to the people at Tesla. You can get a home charge station for, I think it's like $500. And if your house supports it, you can basically completely charge your Tesla in 10 hours, basically overnight. And it costs you $6 to fully charge your car. $6. How much did you spend filling your tank with gas the last time, Tim?
$52.
$52. So we would be saving $46 every time we went to the gas station. Huh. So if the infrastructure is there, people are more willing to purchase these vehicles because guess what? You can actually go home and charge it. So what they need to do is build the infrastructure. What's the old, the field of dreams, right? Build it and they will
come. But here's the thing, Jeremy. You're talking logical. You got to remember, they do not want everybody on this. They don't want people driving. Driving is a luxury. They want you stuck in these metropolitan cities. I mean, every time I send these videos out, everybody thinks I'm crazy. But like their goal is to literally cram everybody into these cities to where you don't ever have to leave and control you in those cities where it's like what was it? Saudi Arabia, where they were showing that flat build, you know, that long flat building just basically on the ground. The rich people ain't living in there.
Is that some sort of housing?
Like they're trying to test it out in Saudi Arabia, but like they don't want you. They want you living in the cities where you're getting drone deliveries of Uber Eats. You're getting your packages from Amazon. You're getting this from that. Your doctor's right here. But it's all contained and they control you. They do not it's relying on them. They will never succumb to this.
Peachtree City.
Yeah.
You ever see Dread?
Yeah.
Saul, have you seen that movie Dread?
Mm-hmm.
Carl Urban and Lana Henley.
What year?
We're going to get into more as we talk, but this is what they want. What you're saying is logical. They don't want everybody.
Right.
They want everything for them.
It doesn't matter what they want, right? Because they're going to want pie in the sky and it's going to fail time and time again until you get someone smart in there. And hell, Elon Musk, already lives there. He knows how this works. You need to build the infrastructure first and people will naturally come to your solution. They're trying to push a solution that's going to fail because they're not ready for it.
But that's the point. The point is to fail, because when it fails, what happens?
I don't think they want to fail.
Absolutely they want to.
They want the end goal.
They want
to. But they're just not willing to follow the appropriate steps to get there.
What happens is, I think to your point, Jeremy, I don't think that I think they believe that what they're going to do is for the greater good, because this is how they think. So it's not necessarily that they want to, because some people like Alex Jones will go to the extreme and say, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't necessarily follow that completely. I think, like I say, for everything, a lot of people who made the decision for COVID lockdowns had good intentions. Everybody has, there's a lot of people who have good intentions, but to Tim's point, there are some people there, the centralized planners, who have nefarious reasons for more power, more rich, and I'm going to get into that, but let me close out.
Before you close out, perfect example, Bill Gates, he said, we have a population control and we need to get rid of most of the population. And he says, how are we going to stop people from populating? Through vaccine. His words, not conspiracy theory. His exact words.
How do you prevent people from reproducing
through vaccines? That was those were his words. And then all of a sudden they get COVID, right? And they said the only way out of COVID is through vaccines, and everything else was misinformation.
It's too much of a coincidence, Jeremy, that because, and the reason I think it is centralized and there is an organization for this is because I'm going to play to you right now. Okay. Gavin Newsom in California. Okay. Let me play to you the president of the EU, Ursula von der whatever, however you pronounce her name. Let me play to you what she said, okay?
And this is what is expensive, because in these peak demands, the expensive gas comes into the market. So what we have to do is flatten the curve and avoid the peak demands. We will propose a mandatory target for reducing electricity use at peak hours, and we will work very closely with the member states to achieve this.
So you're telling me that the person in California and somebody in the EU who are giving the same message, you don't think this is coordinated? This is coordinated, bro. Let me introduce the segment, because I haven't been able to show you guys and lay it out for the listener. Because some of us, we are in this, you know, freaking in the weeds into this. So I want to kind of give a summary of what the agenda is. And you heard this lady say something that should ring a bell. It should be like, bing, 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 alert, alert, alert. What do you mean flatten the curve? Right? And so you have to listen to what these people are saying. They planned this. This is planned. They want you to stop, to Tim's point, your dependency on fossil fuels. And the plan is to have more people feel
go nuclear.
This is supposed, because this is the plan, to Tim's point, this is coordinated. If you tell people turn off or increase your whatever, your temperature, so that the AC is not going off as often as possible, reduce your electricity, the plan is to have more people feel the impacts of this quote unquote heat wave, right? Because if the AC is off, people are feeling it. If you're indoors and the AC is on, you don't know. You're like, whatever. And so as you turn it off, people are being like, oh yeah, it is fucking hot. God damn it. What's going to happen? You know, like, and so then they clamor to the government for a solution. This is planned. They create a crisis and then they present themselves as the ones who are going to bring the solution. Heat waves are common yearly occurrences. We've said this. Again, go search for it. Go Google this. And you're going to find every year prior to this one, they've been saying it every year. Record temperatures. So there's an article from back in April 2020, to the point that we're trying to make, Jeremy, that this is planned. Right. And what happened in April 2020, right? That was right during the lockdowns, right when the world shut down. This is this. I'm going to show you the article. 40 countries from the UN sent their leaders to Berlin for a meeting. The meeting was called Petersburg Climate Dialogue. Okay. I'm going to bring this article up on the screen. Okay. I'm not lying to you. Listen to this is the article. Coronavirus recovery plan must tackle climate change. This is the BBC reporting this. The date on this is April 2020. So this is planned. They've been planning to bring climate and create a crisis so that now they will offer the solution. Let me, and for the listener, I'm sorry that you don't see this, but again, I'm showing you guys, and you guys can confirm that this is a BBC article back from April 2020, yes, right during the lockdowns, and they're announcing that the solution should include something for climate change. Let me show you another article, okay, because I'm not making this shit up. Here's another article. Reuters, July 2021, okay? When is the crisis happening? It's happening this year, okay? We cannot wait for pandemic to end to tackle climate change. Who said it?
Kerry. Yeah. What's his name?
John Kerry.
John Kerry.
Presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, okay? This is the guy who lost the
game. Well, he's an idiot. So
okay, but again, okay. Too many idiots who are having the same plan.
You tell me who's qualified here.
but again, these people, he's representing the U.S. government, and so this is why, we believe that they've concocted their plan. They told us this is what they were planning to do. This is the new, and I'm going to go into this, the Davos agenda from the World Economic Forum. And they're calling it the Great Reset. Conservatives didn't label it this. This was the World Economic Forum who's calling it themselves the Great Reset. I'm going to show you one of the little YouTube videos where they have removed the comments and they're not showing you the dislikes where they advertise this shit. So in summary, it's a goal. The goal is a unified global economy that is managed by, and I'll say this in quotations, it's going to be managed by experts. Let me play this video. And then we can dissect it, okay?
The pandemic has radically changed the world as we know it. And the actions we take today as we work to recover will define our generation.
Now is the time to think what history would say about this crisis.
2020 has been challenging on a lot of levels, as economic, environmental, and societal frailties have been laid bare. But it's also proved that when we need to, we can act rapidly and restructure our lives.
Recovery from the pandemic is an opportunity. We can see rays of hope in the form of a vaccine, but there is no vaccine for the planet. Nature needs a bailout.
You don't want to go back to the status quo that you had before simply because it was the status quo that got us here.
With everything falling apart, we can reshape the world in ways we couldn't before. Ways that better address so many of the challenges we face. And that's why so many are calling for a Great Reset. A Great Reset? That sounds more like buzzword bingo masking some nefarious plan for world domination. Hands up, this kind of slogan hasn't gone down well. But all we really want to say is that we all have an opportunity to build a better world. And it's not surprising that people who've been disenfranchised by a broken system and pushed even further by the pandemic will suspect global leaders of conspiracy. But the world's not that simple. Every one of us has differing priorities, values, and ideas. That's part of why solutions are so hard to come by, and why we all need to be involved in the decision-making. Because whether it's politicians, CEOs, academics, activists, or you, we're all about getting people together, even those you may not like, to sit down at the table and develop solutions that work for all of us. But
an enormous trust between the private sector and the public sector for this to actually work. That trust is hard to come by.
It's time for people to work together, listen to each other, and build this trust so we can move towards a better world. And we really need one. Because while the pandemic affects us all, it's clear it affects some more than others.
The first people who are hit are the people at the front, those who are vulnerable. It is those on the front line who take it first. And that is simply unacceptable.
See, at the start of 2020, 1% of the world's population owned 44% of the wealth. And since the start of the pandemic, billionaires have increased theirs by more than 25%, whilst 150 million people fell back into extreme poverty. And with climate change set to dwarf the damage caused by the pandemic, the message from 2020 should be abundantly clear.
Capitalism, as we know it, is dead. This obsession that we have had with maximizing
exactly, Jeremy.
Profits,
this is
for sure.
Okay, I'm going to pause it here. I wanted to let it play.
Every other word out of these idiots is bullshit.
Jeremy, let's look at this. Who posted this video?
The World Economic Forum.
The World Economic Forum.
So it doesn't change the fact that it's still a bunch of bullshit, but it's not.
But Jeremy, but these are the world leaders. Go to these meetings.
Fuck them.
These guys are making the decisions.
It's not just them. It's not just government people. When they say public-private, we're
social media.
No. Public-private means the government and private business. Private business, if you ain't paying attention, we've been part of this great reset and what they've been ushering in for over a decade now in the corporate world. Okay? When you have to go to take DEI training, right? That's part of this great reset. When you have to answer questions about your sustainability at your house for work, when you fill out those mileage things every year for the state of Maricopa County, right?
Yeah, travel surveys.
When you go on Google now, and I was sending you guys things right on the web, on your browser, on your tabs, they put your carbon tax on there for that browser, and they say, "Hey, we put that tab to sleep, and that saves so much money and lowered your carbon footprint." When you book a flight now, they tell you how much emission is on each flight. And if you look at the price of flights now, the less emissions, the cheaper the flight. Look into that. It's been happening all over because corporations are now leading the charge and they're forcing it. If you actually read terms of service of your banks, your PayPals, your every aspect of your life, boom, they're all forcing it. MasterCard is actually they have a carbon tax program on right now.
What I want to kind of lay the groundwork here, because I'm trying to approach this for a listener who has no idea about the World Economic Forum, the Davos Agenda, the Great Reset. I kind of want to give like a little summary and explanation. So what is the Davos Agenda? It was an alliance created by world leaders where they create policies, partnerships, and the goal is so that they can bring on change to the world. And to Tim's point, and to Jeremy's point, you know, they may mean well, but their idea is that since we now live in a global economy and have global challenges like pandemics and energy problems and climate change, that it would make more sense to have a global governing body that would make these decisions.
No.
Okay. This is what, this is the idea of the World Economic Forum. This is what's happening. But to your point, Jeremy, it's just a veil to hide the truth. In my opinion, there is a more sinister plan by the people who want the power centralized. The problem is that their plan has too much faith in the ability of these people who are going to be the ones in charge, who are going to be I'm going to call them the central planners, to recreate society so that they can provide in their minds the needs of everyone. This is how they're thinking. So where else have we heard this type of ideology? This is fucking socialism. And what they're calling it, this is because they're good at this, at these words that they use, these terms. What they're calling it is they call it stakeholder capitalism, right? Because everybody, capitalism. But as you heard in that video there, where they said capitalism is dead. What do you replace it with? Okay, so the idea that you can get companies to focus for the common good instead of maximizing profits for the shareholders, the problem is that every single person doesn't have the same needs. So as Tim was mentioning, right, you have HR companies, this is infiltrated companies to the point where like now they want to convince you that everything that the company does is for your good, for your benefit. But there is a plan here. And these same companies, because there's a lot of companies who are members who have partnerships with the World Economic Forum.
It's most of them.
Most of them. All
almost
of them.
Every Fortune 100 company.
Long ass list. We all bank with these people. We all have insurance with these people.
Yeah.
Every single one. We all invest in these companies. So now that's what I wanted to explain. Now, I did want to say this. What they're calling it is the stakeholder capitalism. But what it really is a form of failed capitalism, because what they do is to your point and the point we made earlier, there is a crisis that they create. And then they say, don't worry, guys, we have the solution. And the solution is sounding a lot like communism, and which is going to be the real transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich. Everything that they claim that they're going to solve, they're only going to make it worse.
So you got to remember, you got to keep hearing the buzzwords, right? When you hear public-private partnership, that's fascism. That's what they're going towards, right? It's total control. It's a partnership. So a corporation can actually now dictate to governments what to do, right? Because they have control. You put all your infrastructure in AWS. AWS can now tell everybody, yeah, this is what you're going to do, right? Because I could shut you off like that. We've seen it, right? They control a lot. They control it all. Same thing with Microsoft, right? One of the other interesting things about all this is when you hear the word, the reason why you keep hearing the word trust the science, and we got to have the science. This falls also in the term technocracy, right? So where it's an idea that the only people that should be running things are engineers, scientists, doctors, experts, right? Like they know what's best for everybody because they went to school and they're super smart. It started in the 30s. It didn't take off over the years. And it finally took place right in the 70s through this group called the Trilateral Commission, right? It was a bunch of people that had these ideas and whatnot. And you know how it first infiltrated our government? Through Carter. Every single person with Jimmy Carter, most of his cabinet was all part of this. And it infiltrated the government. And then they figured out how to stay over the course. They're all still, that's why like Henry Kissinger, like he was one of the founding members. He was there for Nixon, and then he was part of this one, and then Kissinger was part of Reagan's administration. And at 90 years old, when Trump was in there, he showed up to the White House with an unscheduled, undocumented visit.
I think you're the one who sent us a link for like what the fuck happened in 1971. I think you're the one who sent us that, Tim. Was it you? Anyways, what it shows is that to your point, Tim, these people who were the experts at that time were the ones who said, hey, you know what? We got to get off the gold standard. And if you go to that site, it shows you how everything basically economically has deteriorated since then. Since we went off the gold standard, governments have run amok. Our government has run amok with the economy because now they can control it. They can inflate it. They can play with it. And what have they been doing? They've been lining their pockets. And so to reiterate this thing, to summarize here again, their true intention is to establish a one world government that is going to have centralized power. They're going to make decisions for us, or they're going to have quote unquote experts. But every example in history has shown us that centralized government doesn't work. It's been the cause of millions of people who've been killed. Now, somebody went to the Economic Forum representing the U.S. a few years ago, a couple years ago, maybe, and they hated him. And I'm going to play for you a video. Trump went out there. He went out there. And you know, they hate the idea of people having pride for their own country. This is how much they despise them, dude. Let me play to you what he said. And this was Trump's message all along.
The world is witnessing the resurgence of a strong and prosperous America. I'm here to deliver a simple message. There has never been a better time to hire, to build, to invest, and to grow in the United States. America is open for business, and we are competitive once again. America is the place to do business.
So think about how Trump is talking. And his whole speech was America first, right? His whole message during his administration was America first. And now think about what this body of experts and people who want to bring on this great reset. When you hear the president of the most powerful country talking about, we're not worried about how, to become collectively as a world and try to solve the world's problems. I'm America's president. I'm going to solve America's problems. And you could see the disdain like in their faces, the questions that they asked them. And I think there was one person who asked them, he's America's, they asked him, how is America doing? He's America's doing great. How's the rest of the world doing? And he's like, have their presidents worry about how they're doing. This is not my job as the U.S. president. And I love it. This is how you answer to these goddamn people.
Yes. And that is a leader.
That is a fucking leader. Thank you. So now,
well, he's not part of their plan.
He's not.
He was never part of their plan.
He wasn't. And so the books that from Klaus Schwab, who, you know, is fucking one of the main speakers for this organization. In I think it was The Great Reset. Maybe it was The Great Reset, or maybe it was the fourth. At one of those books, he said the coronavirus, it was probably The Great Reset. He said the coronavirus pandemic has no parallel in modern history. It is our defining moment. And so to Tim's point, this is when they solidified their plan of you will own nothing and you will be happy. Because to them, once they start planning, so how you are going to live your life, they're going to regulate what temper you should live at. And in their minds, you're going to find that happiness there. And this is we need to fight this as much as we can, oppose it everywhere at every factions in our companies. When people try to get me to participate, no, I'm not playing this game, dude. This is why we need to get off this whole reliance we've had this. I've told you guys this conversation that I've had with my family, you know, where we rely too much on the system. And we need to become a little bit more independent. Get off the grid. You know, I think it's leading to that.
Unless, I don't agree with this, but here's the problem. If every government, including ours, has been infiltrated with this ideology, right? And they brag about it. They brag to your face saying, oh, yeah, through our Young Leaders Program, you know, we have everybody running these countries. Have been through the World Economic Forum Young Leadership Program. Trudeau in Canada, Macron in France, the communists down in Argentina and Chile, they've all been through it. But then you know what he says next? But he goes, what we also do is that's why you always hear me. He goes, we penetrate the cabinets, right? So we have more of our people in the cabinet. So now if Trudeau or anybody decides to go left, you got the next person there putting them back in check, or in like Boris Johnson, right? He was a World Economic Forum guy. Guess what? He's out. Oh, Europe, oh, that's the best thing. He's a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. The lady that's going in next, oh, she's even deeper into that. And then all the people she put in, you know, the czar of healthcare over there, who's 10,000 pounds with a lopsided titty, you know what I mean? spokesperson for women's health, you know, for health, she's the most unhealthiest person. But guess what? World Economic Forum, another globalist. So, look at this? Hydra. Cut one head off, two more will grow. And that's exactly what they did. That is exactly the World Economic Forum has created.
They do, because they create these crises. I mean, I'm to the point where, like, I look at this because you remember. You know, how many stock market crashes have we had? And what happens during that time? What happens when the stock market crashes? The rich get richer. Why? Because they buy stocks. Because you buy low. And because they're counting on the government bailing out the housing bubble. Another great example. What do? The rich bought property. Why? Because they knew that it was going to come back up, because the government was going to throw in a bunch of money to bail everybody out. Pandemics. The rich invested in pharmaceuticals. You know, I'm sounding like a fucking, Occupy Wall Street guy, but there's a bad marriage right now between between these corporations and between these the people who make laws. And they're doing shit. They're creating crises so that the people who fund them can get richer, folks. This is I don't know how else to see this. But I think my eyes kind of were open to this a little bit with the whole fucking coronavirus bullshit, that pandemic, where we had experts. And I'm like, no, I can see with my own eyes this shit is not happening. This is a lie. Most recently, where Russia invades Ukraine, right? What happened? America goes and confiscates Russia's all the U.S. currency that Russia had. Because they could do it because it's all electronical and boom, you don't have anything now. And what did that do? We talked about it on the show. What did it do? Immediately, China and Russia have a meeting where they're now saying that they're going to create an alliance so that they can offer a solution so that the U.S. government can't do that anymore. Fortunately, the U.S. dollar skyrocketed during that time when they collected that shit. But I think that this is brewing a perfect storm for a debt crisis, which is coming. This is the next crisis. And so the Great Reset, again, elite people, politicians, you know, who are using, leveraging their power so that they can become more powerful. And these corrupt, crony capitalists is what I'm calling. It's a bad marriage, guys. And the goal, and they've said it, you saw this on the video. On the video that I showed you from the World Economic Forum, they want to establish a new world order. Maybe they didn't use those words, but that's what else do we call it? And I think we have to a certain extent, I don't want to sound like a crazy Alex Jones type. I'm going to move on to, you know, what is the solution to fight this movement? Again, history has shown us that those who want power so that they can regulate your lives, this shit brings on millions of deaths. It has every single time. And this time it's no different. They can call themselves experts. Oh, they're going to make the plans. No. And when I was researching this, I said, somebody's answered this before because these debates have happened, right? And I love Milton Friedman. I remember when I saw his show, this PBS show. Obviously, I didn't watch it when it came out because it was in the 80s. But I watched it a few maybe years ago, probably in high school, I think, when I watched this. And it made so much sense. And I'm going to give you a couple of his quotes. And the answer is there, folks, to these people who want to control your lives for the greater good. One of the things that he said, because you saw in that World Economic Forum video where they said capitalism is dead. And Milton Friedman said this, it's a pretty long quote, but it's worth listening to. He said, most people throughout most history have lived in tyranny and misery. It is only a very tiny minority in any time who have been able to escape from it. He said, it is the increase in government power that has increased the disparity because there is a bad union between those who make the laws and those who have the most money. This is not my words. This is Milton Friedman, the great economist. He said, if you promote freedom, if you remove arbitrary obstacles, you open the way up for people to use their resources. You will end up with more freedom and more prosperity. And more equality. This was the answer to those people who think that they can. Nobody knows how to best live your life than you. Not the government, not nobody. And capitalism has proved that over and over again. It's not the best system, but it has worked. And there is no other system that has been introduced. I mean, they're trying to introduce this new reset, but it's the same old shit. It's centralized power. And it doesn't work. You know what? Let me actually play this. He was on Milton Friedman, again, great economist. If you haven't seen his, I think it's the Free to Choose is the name of his series. Go YouTube it. It's on YouTube everywhere. Brilliant guy. But I did want to play to you this video where he was on a Donahue show. You guys remember Donahue?
Oh, yeah.
And obviously you can tell by Donahue's demeanor that he doesn't agree with Milton Friedman. And he's challenging him, and he has got a great response. So let me play this video.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me, where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us? Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
Brilliant, man. I love it. If you guys haven't seen his Free to Choose series, definitely go watch it, man. I'm telling you.
Is he still with us?
No, he passed away, I think, about maybe 15 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, Tim, you brought it up. He actually helped Chile move into capitalism. And within a short period of time, they're about to go full on communism. It's crazy.
They rejected it. They rejected it. They did. They voted against it.
Oh, they did. Good. Okay.
Yeah. So on Sunday, they actually like 60 something to 38.
Good.
It was unanimous.
Awesome. Look, and that gives me hope because I was like, wow, man, I'm telling you, Chile. And
2 years ago, it had passed.
Was it Chile and maybe Hong? No, I think it was Chile. Invited him, like they had him as an advisor on to implement his ideas. That's how much they respected him. And that Chile prospered like freaking exponentially compared to every other Latin American country as soon as they established the free enterprise capitalism. But you were asking a question, Jeremy. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just asking him if he was still around, if he was still offering advice, what his opinion might be on the current day situation. And obviously he passed, which is 15 so years ago. So that's
but I think it, nothing is new under the sun, man. Like this is the same debate that we've been having.
He basically went on and Phil Donahue had his pie in the sky. I want to feel good about this. And Friedman's like, here's the deal. This is the best system we have.
Right.
If you have a better system, let me know. But as of right now, this is what takes the most people out of poverty. This system makes great countries. Yeah. This system takes people who are starving and gives them excess.
But you know what the problem is? When you have 30 people saying the opposite of him, that, oh, he went to Harvard, he went here. You know what people are going to say? Those 30 are right, not the one. And this is what they've been doing forever. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
They got into the universities and the school systems and they're indoctrinating.
For this plan to fully work, they're right there. There's only really two things standing in their way right now. One is a piece of paper that's 250 years old, maybe a little bit more now. That one document is what's stopping this complete hostile takeover, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Second is over 100 million MAGA Republicans. This is why, if you pay attention, the fact that you have a sitting president saying the biggest threat to this country right now are MAGA Republicans, very specific. He goes, the mainstream Republicans, they're okay because they're part of it.
Because they're rhinos.
No, but they are part of the globalist movement. The MAGA Republicans, the working class schmucks like us that keep fighting this, keep publishing, keep red pilling somebody to say, hey, this is what they're doing. And then they start researching going, holy shit, there really is a pedo ring going on in the world. And when you say it's conspiracy theory, every day you turn around, another teacher's getting arrested for banging a kid. You know what I mean? Or human trafficking down at the border, the invasion. There's always something going on, but it is a great awakening. And the fact that they're targeting the leader of the MAGA movement, Steve Bannon just got, they just about to indict him in New York City for some random bullshit again. He's like, dude, they're coming. Yeah, he got swatted three times. Marjorie Taylor Greene got swatted three times, you know, in the span of a week. This is insane, right? And everything you're seeing, we're fighting. But this election, I'm telling you this right now, if we do not flip, at least if we do not get majority in the Senate and we lose, it's over. It is over. If they get one or two Senate seats, it is over. They will pass H.R. 1, which is the complete federal election overhaul of the country, of the federal elections. They will pack the Supreme Court with crazy progressive judges. Everybody shakes their head like it's not going to happen. But if they do get this, it's already passed Congress. It's already passed the House. So they just need the majority and it's over. D.C. will become a state.
I see
two Senate seats right there.
Sure. I mean, they're going to struggle to get there. It's not, you know, it's not going to just be rapidly. It will, you know, but it's happening. And to your point, Tim, if people don't get involved, if people get complacent and don't participate and think, oh, well, we got this in the bag, there's a red wave. No, we have to act as if there isn't, and it's going to be one by one vote. But I did want to mention this, you know, a lot of libertarians, conservatives are seeing something that is also developing outside of the political sphere. And that is, and they're labeling it as the Great Escape, which is how technology will most likely also play a role inhibiting these people to implement their ideas for centralized power. And they are nefarious plans for some of these people. They do have nefarious plans. What some of the videos that I saw and some of the stuff that I read, and Klaus Schwab knows this because in his book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, which I read, he talks about how technology will play a role. And in his book, Klaus Schwab said he wasn't certain. And now I know why he said that. Because he questioned whether or not this would be a net good or a net bad when he ended his book. But, and I understand why, because a lot of the conservatives and libertarians out there who are calling, their counter is called the Great Escape, where again, they're saying technology is going to play a role. And what technology? Cryptocurrency, AI, automation, encrypted communication. You know, you remember when they were trying to censor everybody and a bunch of people went to Telegram, and Telegram just skyrocketed. I'm still on Telegram. And here's another thing that's also happening with technology, where they're not going to be able to control everything. And we are in the front lines of some of this. Because today, right now, the greatest source of news that people are getting, it's not through the legacy media. It's through podcasts. Okay? The audience is tired of the legacy media. So again, we may dedicate an episode to this. And again, it's called The Great Escape. Like, technology is increasing at a rapid pace that might hinder all their plans. Anyways, all right, we're going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a like, hit the follow button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Peace.
See ya. Thank you for listening to this episode of the
Salty Show.com.